Yle Podcast.
Hello and welcome to All Points North, the show where we offer you a window on what's happened in Finland this week. Today we're focusing on a controversial advertising campaign, but we'll also cover the latest in Finnish politics, conditionality in food aid, and Finland's pothole problem after the spring thaw.
This is the All Points North podcast, telling you everything you need to know about Finland this week.
Hello, happy Friday everyone. It's time for another edition of All Points North. I'm Denise Wall and my co-presenter this week is Egan Richardson. Welcome, Egan.
Thanks, Denise. Great to be here.
Also joining us today is Dr. Faith Mukwesha, a researcher and activist from Zimbabwe, currently living in Turku. Welcome, Faith.
Thank you, Denise, Edkan, for inviting me.
Now, Faith, you run a feminist organization, and I'd like to find out a little bit more about that. We looked on the website, and in the About Us section, it says that you're an organization that's fighting for women's and girls' rights against racism, poverty, and violence. You talk about Unhu, Ubuntu, Entu, I'm not sure if I've got that right, which African feminists believe in no-ego feminism. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yes, Unu Ubuntu, Ntu is a term that means I am who I am in relation to others. I am who I am because others also contribute to who I become. So in other words, my being is interdependent on others. So this is an African philosophy that shapes our way of thinking, our way of being in the world, our way of navigating the environment and everything. So it's actually very concerned with interdependence between humans and nature.
I see. So it's all about cooperation and, yeah, and getting along and living together. Mm. Thank you for that insight, Faith. Now, also joining us today is Eva Antila from Plan International Finland. Eva is the acting fundraising director at Plan Finland. It's an NGO that says it works to advance children's rights and equality for girls. Now, Eva, your organization operates in Africa, Asia, and South America, and your work is funded by the EU, the corporate sector, and regular donors. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what Plan International Finland has been doing recently in the area of girls' rights.
Probably our latest endeavor on this topic is SheBoard, an app that makes you think how you talk about girls and also encourages girls themselves to think how they're expressing themselves. The app works, you just download it to your phone, and it's an keyboard that suggests more kind of gender neutral terms when you're writing about girls. So for example, let's say you'd be writing about your daughter, and you'd write that your daughter is maybe beautiful or cute, the app might suggest that you could use words like powerful or resourceful. So this is the latest thing we're working on.
It's about empowerment, one word at a time.
Definitely, yes.
Now let's get straight into today's discussion. Plan Finland is an aid agency, and you're running all kinds of programs in the developing world, including in Africa. Last year, you developed an ad campaign to try and increase donations in Finland and also increase awareness, specifically to fund work in family planning and fighting pregnancy among children. That campaign featured a 12-year-old Zambian girl named Frida. She was visibly pregnant, and she was shot as a fashion model would be in poses typical of fashion photography. The issue of child pregnancy is a real problem in Zambia in particular. I think we learned that one in three girls in that country gets pregnant before the age of 18.
So the campaign was tremendously successful by Plan's metrics, increasing donations and even winning an award for the best creative design. But there are issues with the images, according to some critics. Aid agencies always have to grapple with the messages they put out, given the huge power imbalances between white Westerners and people in sub-Saharan Africa. And for instance, the British charity Comic Relief announced earlier this year that it's going to strive to avoid this so-called white savior trope when designing campaigns in the future, because they had some criticism about that. And the Plan campaign also prompted a vigorous debate among people of colour in Finland. So Eva, you lead Plan's fundraising team. What was the thinking behind this particular advert?
The whole concept of the campaign was really to address the issue of child motherhood, and we know the statistics and understand the data. Yeah, the figures are pretty staggering. It's over 7 million girls every year become mothers under the age of 18. So our job is to raise awareness on topics like this, and also, yes, to fundraise. And together here locally, but also with our international teams, we discussed on how to bring this matter into attention of as many people as we can. And we decided that just showcasing the data, as shocking as it is, for example, to us, wouldn't be enough. And in this case, we decided we should try to tell about this through a story of an individual. And that's where the concept really started. We chose to mimic another genre of advertising. In this case, it's fashion. And of course, it can cause an effect of shock to some, and also other emotions like sadness or really just the need to understand more what's behind it. And that's been our goal, to get people talking. And we're really happy to be here today and talking about these issues and the problems. And we obviously recognize that whenever we are campaigning or as an NGO working here, there are power structures, and we need to consider them, and we do think about it a lot. And we never work alone here in Finland. We're always working together with other countries, and definitely together with, for example, Plan International Zambia in this case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just to check on that, you said you tested it with your international groups. Were there any focus groups with the advert? What was the process with Hassan and Partners? Mm.
We didn't use focus groups in this case. We've been working with our ad agency for a long time, and they know our work very well. However, we did consult our development program workers a lot on the concept as well. And for us, it's always about bringing out the issues behind and the stories behind these cases. So we spend a lot of time discussing it with the teams.
Okay. I'd like to bring Faith in here just to talk a little bit about your reaction to the ads. And you told us that when you saw them, you had a kind of a powerful reaction. Can you describe what that was like for you?
For me, when I saw this advert on the bus stop, I was kind of surprised to see this young black girl from on a wall, bus wall. Then I walked nearer, then I really got shocked. What shocked me was the way she was eroticized, and then the price that was on the side of the campaign. And then there was this name of the designer, Paula Sahonen. I was shocked to think that a child is being used like this in an advert, and I could see that she's a very young child. I'm a mother myself. I have 5 children, and I have a daughter. Mm. I quickly saw my daughter on the wall, going through traumatic pregnancy, but now displayed whilst she's in this crisis. So I was shocked, and then after being shocked, I was sad, and then I was angry. I was really angry that whoever did this, this is very cruel.
Mm. What kind of specific concerns did you have about the messages that you felt that kind of portrayal sent?
The concern is that Freda is a 12-year-old black Zambian African girl who stays in Zambia. She has never stepped her feet in Finland or in Europe. She cannot be representative of all the girls who are pregnant in this world. She is going through a very traumatic stage in her life. It's not something that she can we can celebrate or that she can be made to go through the public gaze whilst she's going this trauma. So for me, it was the this concern that does it mean ain't or is ain't Frida, who is 12-year-old, not a child deserving protection? Is it, does it mean that the end justifies the means
okay.
that you can use her to raise money?
I'm going to interject that thought when you at that point where you talk about protection and the ends justifying the means and bring in another voice. One of the criticisms about the ad was that it's difficult for minors to give true informed consent. So we asked Tuomas Kurttila, he's the children's ombudsman here in Finland, about the ethical questions involved in this area. It's a very delicate area. He was pretty clear, first of all, that he was confident that Finnish NGOs would do the right thing in terms of getting permission and clearing all the hurdles and jumping through all the hoops required. But he said that it's ultimately the responsibility of adults to safeguard children's rights and privacy. Let's hear some more about what he had to say.
We are a global world, and that is the reason why we have to also think those children who might be used there as campaign figures on a global scale. And at the same time, we cannot use these children, even if they are not living in Finland, even if they are not Finns. We are also responsible once for their faces, for their privateness. Even if they have... would have said that it's okay for them, or I even apply to be this kind of a campaign face or model, it can be that it is not the best interest of this child. So it's always adults and organizations' responsibility to take care of children's rights. And it's not always the issue that a child's opinion and the best interest of this child would be the same.
And that was Children's Ombudsman in Finland, Tuomas Kurttila, making some very strong points. Eva, how would you respond to the concerns that he raised?
Plan International, as a child's rights organization, of course, agrees that the safeguarding and protecting of children is the most important thing. And in doing this campaign, we paid particular attention to this point, and we talked about it for a long time, whether like in any campaign, if we should be proposing it to a child from any country, it's always a question of whether we can do that. And in this case, after lengthy discussions and consultings, and also talking with the local Plan Zambia workers, the social workers, and Frida's family extensively, we felt confident that we were not harming this child, and that we were still safeguarding her. Now, during the actual filming, her mother accompanied her throughout the whole film shoot. We also had a social worker present. We followed all of our internal policies and laws. And Frida and her mother together had the final say on everything. So we really paid extra attention to make sure she didn't feel uncomfortable, and she had veto on the clothing, the poses, the locations, everything. So we really were very strict to follow our guidelines, and we feel that we did the best job we could have done to ensure that she was safeguarded. Also, not giving out too many bits of information about where she lives or any other identifiable factors. Mm.
Do you think that it would be possible even to use a Finnish child in this way? I mean, would a Finnish child be in this kind of advertising campaign if they were pregnant at the age of 12?
We actually discussed that and thought that if there would be a similar situation or a gross human rights violation or girls' rights violation in Finland, yes, we would consider it. because it is a massive human rights problem, and we feel that we need to address it.
I wonder though, I just wonder though whether realistically, even if a plan would consider using a Finnish child to address a human rights violation issue, whether it would actually be possible even in Finland.
I don't have the answer for that, but in relation to the question, we would consider it, yes. But not, I can't tell, I haven't checked the Finnish law on that.
Faith, what do you make of this? Is it possible? How do you? Is it possible to protect a family in Zambia when they're part of a campaign like this?
We talk about parity of participation. Parity of participation means that you are equals in that dialogue that you are doing. So when you are discussing and then coming up with consent, it means you are all equal at the same level that you can engage in that kind of discussion. I come from Africa, Zambia, I've been there. There's a lot of poverty and so forth. So you cannot go there, a big international organization with lots of money, and then you go to this poverty-stricken family, and then you say that we engage with them and we agreed that we were going to have this and we have their consent, because they are, that's coloniality of power. There are different power dynamics there, economic, social, political, that should make it impossible for even anyone to engage in a discussion with such a family. And Freda is 12 years old. We are pestering her in all these billboards and so forth. She doesn't even know what will happen in her future. Just like me, when I was 12 years old, I never knew that one day I might come and sit in Finland. So can you imagine one day Frida finds herself like me in Finland, and she has been on all the billboards like that. And then we say, no, you were there because we had consent with you.
That was actually one of the points that the Children's Ombudsman made in that clip. He talked about the fact that as adults and organizations, you should be able to have that long view that a child, and perhaps not even Frida's parents, in the environment or in their current situation might be able to have. Is this something that you also discussed, what the implications of today's ad campaign might be on Frida's life in the future?
Yes, and in any use of an image of a child, we consider this point, and we are very mindful of this point. It's something in today's global world you have to think about.
Well, how do you take it into account in concrete ways? I mean, what we know that Frida was given help by Plan, and she's still being helped by Plan. But one question we had from discussions on this topic was, if it was a Western model in the campaign, they would receive presumably a hefty fee. Did Frida get any kind of fee?
No, she didn't get a monetary fee. Okay. She's lives in a community where the local plan works and has received prenatal and postnatal care and support. Her family and her own, and our aim is, of course, ensure that she can return to school. And we are supporting her on that. And one point on that you were making about colonialism and us from here coming to pester her, obviously the local plan and the community workers who have worked in certain areas for a long time were the ones who were first talking with her. There's obviously a power structure that we recognize and are aware of, but I do object to the notion that we would be coming here from Finland to throw money at people in conditions where they that are very different from ours. So that's not the way we work.
Faith, do you want to come back on that?
Go ahead, I'd like Faith. To ask that. Since you did not go to Finland to impose your ideas to Freda and her family, were these people in Zambia part of the process of coming up with the concept of this advert? Because if they were not part of the coming up with the concept, and only received instructions on a particular concept that we want to do this, and can you do this, do 1, 2, 3, 4. The Plan International in Zambia was following instructions that they were being given to facilitate the program. And also to say that, we were not imposing our ideas on them would be problematic, because if they had been involved in the concept, I can tell you that Zambia is the best material. They would never have made this girl to dress like this. They would never have let out her legs and her thighs outside like this in this concept if they were part of it.
Let's let Eva address your question.
We worked on the concept together with the local team in Plan Zambia. Whenever we are planning on any campaigns or activities, or we are looking, for example, of stories of girls, we cooperate with any country we might visit in advance and always introduce our ideas and goals and why are we addressing such a topic, for example, with Zambia. We know from the figures that there is a huge problem with child marriages and child motherhood. And Plan Zambia is doing amazing work on this. They have many 18-plus programs where they're addressing this issue, because it's related to school dropouts and so many other issues as well. So we definitely spend a lot of time talking with the local teams on how can we address this, and then also developing the concept and talking about.
Okay. Just very, just very quickly, because we're running out of time.
I just want to know, did they get the prize? Because the names mentioned they won the prize are not involved in these people. So I think it would be unfair to even allow people to believe that they were involved, because the prize is being given to people who mentioned specifically what they did. And these people in Zambia, or there's no African name here.
Okay. Just very quickly, I just want to say very, very, very quickly, 30 seconds for you, Faith, and 30 seconds for you, Eva, in terms of moving forward. What would you propose that Plan could do differently? And Eva, based on this conversation, what do you think your organization could do differently? So quickly to you, Faith.
This campaign has harmed Africans, not only in Africa, but here in Finland, like myself. We have children who have seen this advert and who are now being looked by others as loose girls who cannot control themselves. We have sons that are now being looked at as those who rape girls.
Okay.
And make
what would you do? What would you suggest that Plan can do differently?
I would suggest they offer a public campaign, withdraw the prize that was given.
Okay.
Rescind the prize.
And to you, Eva.
I just want to answer that, for example, for the award, Vuoden Huiput, the credits also include our team members from Zambia. They are included on the list.
They are not there. What we are accessing, information we are accessing.
And very quickly in terms of what you think you might do differently going forward.
We do not want to reinforce any stereotypes or cause any kind of harmful views on any child, and we really welcome a discussion and more kind of dialogue on this matter. We'd love to engage with Dr. Makwisha more and talk about this. We really believe the way forward is to talk more and understand and listen. We don't think we're fallible and do everything perfectly. We would love to continue this conversation.
Thank you so much for those views, Eva and Faith. But now it's time for us to move on to a completely different issue.
Now, one story that caused a big debate on our Facebook page this week was the news that Helsinki region municipalities are looking to revamp their systems for food aid by adding in an element of conditionality. They want the needy to come to have a sit-down meal rather than queue on the city streets for bags of food to take home.
That's right, Egan. And some of those currently involved in food distribution are up in arms. They're complaining that the proposals are unrealistic and will end up leaving many people hungry. On our Facebook page, we saw a lot of scepticism about the idea, with Marcus Ames saying that if you want people to be productive with their lives and climb up from that situation, the last thing you want to do is pull their entire families to your location for literally hours every day just to have one meal.
Indeed, and also on Facebook, Essie Lindstedt White looked to Espoo, where people have already had to sit down for a meal to get food aid, adding that they really need to talk to service users and start the plans from there. The Espoo idea is dreadful. There are huge amounts of global evidence that conditionality doesn't work. Now, Faith, what do you think? Is it better to ask people in poverty to sit down for a meal than wait in the streets in Helsinki in the cold for their food?
I think it would be better to provide services that make these people have ability to work, and then they can get their self-respect by earning what they have. But if really there's a reason why they can't really be provided with their skills, with their tools to in order to get a job, then maybe making them have a place where they eat in a decent way would be better.
Eva, what do you think? You, I'm sure that in your work, trying to help people in difficult circumstances, lots of child and women's rights violations result in poverty and generational poverty as well. Do you think it's better for people to be able to get a food handout that they can take home, or should they be required to sit down and have one meal?
I think it's up to those needing those services to decide which option is better for them.
All right, very okay. succinct response. Thank you.
If you have something on your mind, just send your audio message to our All Points North WhatsApp account. Our WhatsApp number is +358 44 421 0909. Tell us what's on your mind, and your comment or question might be heard on our next show.
And now it's time for our roundup of what's going on in Finland this week. There were more political tremors as Blue Reform MP Kai Turunen announced his defection from the junior government partner to the National Coalition Party. Blue Reform Parliamentary Group Chair Sampo Terho was incandescent with rage, saying that he was informed of the move just half an hour before Turunen's declaration.
And still in politics, we also heard that the enfant terrible of Finnish politics, Teuvo Hakkarainen, was charged with assaulting and sexually harassing NCP MP Vera Ruoho. The charges stem from an incident at a Finns Party Christmas celebration last year. Hakkarainen apparently grabbed Ruoho by the neck and forcibly kissed her. He later apologized for his actions, but both Hakkarainen and Ruoho seemed to be unaware that charges would be laid.
Meanwhile, the government is hoping that a new startup residence permit will lure new companies to Finland to help boost the economy and create jobs. The two-year permit requires applicants to get a business plan approved, and they must prove they can earn 1,000 euros a month or have the equivalent in their bank accounts.
And the Paavo Väyrynen saga continues. In the latest twist to that story, the MP left the Centre Party on Wednesday, relinquishing his title of honorary party chair. The veteran politician has plans to set up his own parliamentary group and to begin preparations to run next spring as a candidate of the Citizens Party. Now, that's the same party that he founded and was then expelled from in March due to financial irregularities.
And Finland dipped again in the annual Press Freedom Index published on Thursday. The police search of a journalist's home and confiscation of her equipment were cited as reasons for the drop to fourth place, a fall from the top of the table between 2010 and 2016.
And MPs decided to award themselves a pay rise. Legislators approved a 3.2% salary hike on Thursday. The boost to lawmakers' salaries will be implemented in two phases, with a 1.6% increase on the 1st of May, that's next week, and another on January 1st next year.
Olli Sadamis, a former Finns Party politician, has been denied leave to appeal against his conviction for agitation against an ethnic group. In 2015, Sadamis was expelled from the party over hate speech on social media, in which he called for the forced sterilization of African men, suggested collective punishment for immigrants, and described the group as beggars.
Finally this week, the Finnish Refugee Council honoured Vantaa activist and social worker Sirwa Farik as Refugee Woman of the Year. They also honoured Turku area student Ahmad Hosseini as Refugee Man of the Year. The council said the duo helped highlight the reasons why people become refugees and the notion that no one leaves their home country unless they have to.
And don't forget to check our website through the week for all the latest on what's happening in Finland.
And unfortunately, that's all we have time for on this week's edition of All Points North. I'm off to enjoy the pre-Vappu weekend, or pre-May Day weekend, with a trip to Tampere for the Silent Film Festival. What about you, Egan?
I'm definitely looking to go and see some stand-up comedy in English tomorrow at Mascot in Helsinki. Comedians Jamie McDonald and Juuso Kekkonen are trying to figure out what on earth is going on in this world.
That sounds like a riot. Faith, what about you? What are your weekend plans?
This weekend I will be resting. I've been working so hard for the past 2 weeks. So this weekend I'll have time with my husband and my children and chill in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds
after
good.
A long trip to Helsinki as well. That sounds
yes.
great. Eva, are you planning to take advantage and enjoy the spring weather as we head towards May Day?
Yes, it's actually my birthday weekend, so
congratulations.
Thank
Happy
you.
Birthday.
Thanks. I'm going to spend some time with my family and friends as well and enjoy hopefully a good weather and some sunshine.
That sounds perfect. Thanks, Eva, and thanks to you, Faith. And that's all from us this week. I'm Denise Wall, and my co-presenter was Egan Richardson. Thanks again to our special guests for coming in, Faith McQuaisha and Eva Antila. Our producer today was Mark Odom, and our sound engineer was Pasi Ilka. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to subscribe, get in touch, and even leave a review wherever you get your podcast. And you can also stay up to date at yle.fi/news. And listen to previous editions of this podcast at yle.fi/allpointsnorth.
You've been listening to All Points North, a podcast produced by Yle News, a unit of the Finnish Broadcasting Company. For daily news from Finland in English, head to yle.fi/news and follow us online at Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening to Yle News.